Welcome to this talk from the Canando Zen Meditation Center. Located in Mountain View, California, Canando's meditation practice is open to the public. For more information or to get in touch with us, you can visit our website at canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.
Thank you for coming to listen to my talk. So I was going to call this, how do we take our practice into the real world? But within the past 2 weeks, things have happened in the world, and it got me thinking, and I decided to change the title to, it's called Returning to Life. So I'm going to read this out now. So sitting Zazen this morning at Canando, I heard the morning commuter train go by. I thought to myself, this train is like our breathing. It moves, connecting one point to another, carrying human life. How fascinating is our breath? It connects our mind, body, and universe together. Planning, meditating, and writing this talk got me reflecting on my life, seeing the connection from the present to the past. I clearly saw the old programming, family, friends, girlfriends, first marriage. All of it could be summed up with, my duty was to make others look and feel good. And then others will like me. I am not enough. I am not liked. Parents, school, friends, verbally and non-verbally told me, chase power, glory, wealth, pleasure. This is the only way that the others will like you. Others will like you and make you feel enough. The more I moved towards these goals, the more internal disruption grew. Anger, jealousy, pride, resentment swallowed me up whole. In 2007, I came to Canando and talked to Les, standing on the deck outside near the Zendo door after the 9:30 sitting. I told him of my inner turmoil. Les said, come back, sit, and embrace your suffering. So I did. Every other sitting, attraction, repulsion, fear, anxiety, grasping of self, separation from others, delusion would body slam me onto the spiritual dojo floor, saying, we win, you lose. I was leaning on my suffering, and they loved me for leaning on them. The more I sat, the more I realized, over the years, I had become disturbed, bewildered, and confused. I was a machine full of fear, anxiety, seeing my life in a small and narrow way, always reacting with no. I had heard somewhere nature creates a vast mind and a vast sense of awe. This feeling I tried to catch a glimpse of at all times. It has been 14 years sitting Zazen, working at Canando. In this time, I have seen therapists, shamans, Chinese medicine healers, body workers, and have done yoga. It has all helped to sit Zazen. Why Zazen? Well, it has motivated me to heal my inner anguish. Poisons of greed, hate, delusion still meet me in the spiritual dojo. We still hug each other. And I tell them I really like them. They're my friends now. I do my best to fill my consciousness and space with kindness towards myself. Over the past COVID year, a general realization has appeared on the spiritual horizon. Our lives are short, but filled with constructive potential. After Zazen, our minds become calm, stable, restful, and internal strength arises. With this strength, we deeply see ourselves in our world. Then we ask, What is the best possible thought or expectation to have? What is the best action to take? Is every thought and action generated without attachment? This way, we return to our organic nature and let life take care of us. So in essence, we sit to cultivate, familiarize, and nurture kindness with deep clarity, intensity, and quality. Then we extend and expand this feeling of wishing contentment, love, and freedom to our enemies, strangers, and to all sentient beings, sending out a prayer. May all sentient beings be free of suffering. Thank you.
Thank you, Omar. So we're open for comments and questions. I'm going to make sure that everyone can unmute if you want to. Okay.
Yes, Dan.
Hi, Omar. Thank you. I'm struck with the word suffering. And can you talk a bit about the quality of your suffering when you started to where you are now? Experience of that? you talked about, you suggested change anyway. I'm curious.
What would you like to know?
A comparison of what was different about your suffering before than it is now?
Suffering was just, there's a lot of anger. There was a lot of anger. There was resentment towards the past. There was just more and more and more and more. And it was unending. And it was just getting to that point where I was, let me put it this way to you. I tried, friends offered me drugs, and I never could do drugs. They always gave me a headache. So one thing I did do was I did smoke, and smoking had gotten to the point where I was smoking 5 packs a day and drinking 2 bottles of wine. So it was just somehow trying to numb the pain. And that was just getting out of hand. So So I just decided I'm going to go and find some kind of medicine. I was motivated to go and find something. And I'm still motivated to keep on looking for things that give me joy. Now it's more about things that give me joy. So yesterday I was heading towards work, and right at the median, right next to the traffic light, there was a plant coming out of the crack, and the crack may have been like a centimeter wide. And it was this big plant that started coming out that looked like a foot tall. And I was thinking, this is marvelous. This is beautiful. You know, that this is what nature is. And this is what positivity is. No matter how much we try to push it down, if it's there, it will just pop up. But we have to be motivated to find positivity. We have to be drawn to it. We have to look for it actively. Can't let us, you know, can't let all this stuff just, otherwise it's just stuff, you know. And this is what my suffering is now, that I look at things and I find beauty in things. I'm constantly trying to find beauty in things. And I'm trying to do my best. I haven't gotten there as yet, but I'm even trying to find beauty in people. Most people, yeah. Yeah, it just doesn't have to be the most prettiest person, but, you know, just everyone has some kind of, you know, quality to them that makes them amazing and beautiful and intelligent and worthwhile spending time with. So I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I just want to say that, I mean, I've known you for some years and I definitely feel so much warmth from you now, more than when I first met you, and it's tangible. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, somebody said to me the other day that they had heard that I was a very scary person, and they were afraid of me. And I said to them, yeah, I have my issues, and I'm still working on them. I'm still letting the kindness come out, and once it starts to pour out, it's going to keep going, and that's what I'm working on. Yes, Janet.
You're not a scary person. thank you for your talk and for your friendship and for your practice. I was struck by what you said about let life take care of you. And I think that's essential. You know, I don't know if it's a Dogen quote or whatever is, you know, take care of the 10,000 things and they will take care of you. You are a caretaker. You are a caretaker for sure. And the 10,000 things will take care of you too. Yeah. We love you, Umar.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that. What I meant to say was, let life take care of you, meaning trust life, not really run after life and take care of it, but rather trust life and rest in this feeling that life is there to take care of us. And sometimes we have to remember that. I think in the modern world, we've gotten it upside down, that we're always trying to take care of life. And life is saying to us, you know, let me do this for you. Let me take care of this for you. And we don't give it a chance. And that's what I've started to understand.
Thank you.
Yes, Giuseppe.
Hi. Hey, Umar. Okay. thank you for the great talk. I really enjoyed having you with us all this year in the practice. And all the things you've done. And I still have you, the t-shirt you gave me, when Kanando t-shirt you gave me, you created and you gave me when I left Mountain View. That was very sweet. I still one of my favorite t-shirts. I liked what you said on, what caught me was what you said on leaning on some negative feelings that one can have and realizes that is leaning on them. I think that's a very good insight that I like. You described very well. So I would like to ask you your view on something that is very strong in today's life, which is competition, the feeling of competition in the workplace or in the life outside of practice. And that feeling that everybody has, that if you don't keep running, chasing, as you said, you won't even be able to provide for your livelihood. So that people say, oh, you know, otherwise I can't send the kids to school and I can't, you know, pay my mortgage. Or at each level of even social and economic position in this society, everybody has that feeling. And I think that's worldwide. It's not only Silicon Valley. So I would like to hear your reflections.
Okay.
So I would like to hear your thoughts on this, which is a feeling where a lot of us in some moment feel that they are forced. You know, they don't have a choice. It's not that they can decide not to lean on certain feelings and not to feel chased, and that they feel trapped, so to speak, or forced, or that it's the right thing to do. To lose themselves somehow in this race. So I'm really interested in your thoughts on this.
So Giuseppe, competition, we can't live without competition. Competition is very important in our world right now. Competition creates innovation. Innovation is very important for important technologies. You're in robotics. If we did not have you guys did not have competition with somebody else, you know, there wouldn't be a deadline, and somebody's life would depend on it, and lives would not be saved. And we don't know the innovation that you create or somebody else creates because of competition, whose life you're going to change and how much change they're going to bring about in the world. So looking at competition that way, I just see that it is a beneficial element to our lives, but we can't bring it home. You know, we can't bring it, let it come into our... When we are competing in the work world, I think it is important to compete in the work world, but we have to leave it in the work world. Because if we start bringing that competition home, I think what will happen is it starts to chip away at our personal relationships. So that's the way I look at it. And your second question was... you had a second question about something too, right?
No, I think I wanted to hear you on this this point. Yeah. How you see this point and the mental load or difficulties that can provide to people who start practicing and to all of us.
I've worked in retail for the past 20 years now. Yeah. So, and different electronics, books, sold everything. And one thing I will tell you, there are times when I come home and I have to change clothes and sit because I have so much going on in my head that people have... I'm on the front line, so I'm taking a lot of heat most of the time, and people just come and say very nasty things to me. And it is hard to sometimes process that kind of information. So the only thing that I can do is come home, do a little bit of yoga, and sit in the evening just for a little while, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, just to let go of all that stuff, because I can't take that to bed. If I do, I will go crazy. And a lot of people are out in the world right now. Our world is upside down. And before that, the world was upside down too. But all these negative emotions that we have are really important to see that some of these negative emotions are there to protect us. There's something that I've started to do recently, and that is bringing about some kind of change. And I'll share this. So there are three questions that I ask myself. One I ask is this a reaction? Where's this coming from? Because there is something behind this reaction that is sitting there. And what was the last time what happened the last time when I reacted like this? So it's just, it gives me a little bit of space to just to sort of disengage from that conflict or from that boxing match. That's how I would call it. You know, I can disengage from the boxing match. So I look at it and say, oh, this is a reaction that's coming up in me. Okay, what happened last time and where is it coming from? Because I know that that reaction has to do with something that is not only in this moment, but it has to do with the past. So I tried to pull that out and see what is sitting underneath that. What is the kind of, is it a feeling of abandonment? Is it a feeling of falling down? Is it the feeling of not being enough? It's of not a feeling of not being liked. All these things, I look at all those things and I go, okay, very quickly, step back. Just step back quickly. And, you know, don't engage. This is a reaction that's happening. So that's the only thing that I've come up with. And just sitting for 15 years and reading different books and understanding and putting them aside and saying, no, this is not the answer. This is not the answer. This is not the answer. This is the answer that I have. And it's starting to work for me. I don't know about you, but you can try it too. And that's all I can do is share it. Yeah.
Thank you. I think you've described very well the not leaning on the things, these emotional things that can carry us away, and keeping our a little bit bigger mind and our awareness of what goes on inside ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think you described it very well. Also, I try to practice.
Thank you. Marcus.
Thank you for an amazing and very personal Dharma talk. I did have it's more of a thought than a question on the topic of competition. And what I found for myself is that my understanding of competition has been damaging to myself. What I mean by that is I was competing with others for the purpose of besting them. What I have found is that when I try to shift that towards challenging myself to be better and to use the comparison with others to see what's possible more than if they're better or if I'm better. And when I manage to combine that with purpose, that somehow it usually ends up feeling better. It seems like it is causing me less injury. So I was struck by your thought of competition as a good thing that propels us. And I think there's a lot about this energy that makes us want to be better, makes us want to have purpose, that makes us want to help people. And there's tremendous value in that. But I feel like sometimes we're tempted to use that in a way where it's about being better than others. And at least for myself, I have found that to be a dangerous path.
You're absolutely correct. It can really affect a person's motivation. And I think what you're saying is the two things that you're saying. One is comparison is more like ambition. And if you look at the ambition word ambition, it's actually fashioning yourself after somebody else. And when it comes to what you're saying about helping people and taking care of people, it comes from aspiration, which actually rises from within. And that happens when the mind is calm. That comes from a restful place. Ambition and the kind of destructive competition that you're talking about, that I have to kill the other person to get ahead, or I have to destroy somebody, that's murder-suicide. And when we start getting into that, then we have Columbine, we have 9/11, we have all these problems in the world. And we start killing each other. And what we don't realize is, you know, even to compete, we need each other. Even to get better, we need each other. Without each other, we can't move forward. We are not independent. This is a delusion. We are interdependent. And this is what Buddhism said, and this is what Suzuki Roshi always said. He used a different word for it, but I call it interdependency, that we depend on each other. And I think what we need to do is focus more on aspiration, as you said, to get better. And I'm really sorry that, you know, that some of us were brought up that way. I still remember I was in the second grade and I ran a 100-meter dash and I brought home the gold medal. And my mother took it from me and threw it aside. And she said, "No, you should have gotten the gold. This is not good enough." And, you know, people have different ways of motivating other people. And maybe this was a way to motivate me. But it's very hard to be in that kind of environment and you know, keep your sanity. But I'm managing the best I can. And that's all I can do is aspire, just like you. I can aspire to be a better person. That's all I can do. And you know, be there for people. Deeply be there for people. That's all I can do. Megan, I like your cat. See, her tail is moving.
Yes. I think she competes with the computer. I admire, Umar, your stability at the Zendo, that you're there for all of us and to keep things going, to keep everything going. And I just appreciate you for being a stable presence there. Yes.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Yes, Anne.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
I never know if I'm unmuted or not. Thank you, Lamar. It sounds like all these years sitting on your cushion, you've really gotten to know yourself deeply. And I like what you said about, you didn't use these words, but it sounded like you made friends with your demons. You saw them. Or what and who they were, and you recognize them. And it sounds like you've made peace with a lot of things from your past and that come up for you. And you kind of answered my question already. I was going to ask you, what tools do you use? How do you do that? Because for me, yes, I know myself much better from sitting, and every time I sit, I'm confronted with myself, and I recognize the way I react to things and my thoughts about other people and comparing myself to other people. Those things still come up. They have never gone. They will probably never go away. But the way I recognize them and see them And then what I do with them has changed. And it sounds like you have those three things you mentioned to see where does that come from, somewhere from the past, and what happened when I reacted in a different way in the past. And so I think those are really good tools. But all of these things must still come up for you. I mean, do they arise and then you can kind of not react like so quickly? Or does the emotion still kind of bubble up?
I'm finishing up COVID slowed everything down. My body work certification and the kind of work that I do is called Bowen. So it's not chiropractic. It's more like acupuncture without the needles. Mm. But that's the best way I can explain it. And it's just about moving the nerves of the body. And the more I've started to talk with people, the more I've come to realize that we are emotional beings, no matter how much we say we're not. We have emotions stuck in our bodies. And sometimes when I work on people, think they'll start to cry. And they don't even know why they're crying, but they cry because there is a certain kind of an emotion stuck. Or they will start to laugh because underneath that laughter is some kind of pain that was just released. So that got released and so the laughter came up. So and to answer your question, yes. And I know exactly where in my body those demons are sitting. I know where they are and how they... It used to be a worldwide wrestling championship match that used to go on, and now it's more like, you know, it's more of a hugging waltz that goes on. So it's like, oh, okay, you're here. Okay, let's do this so you can go your way and I can go mine. But it's definitely there. And I still feel it. And there's certain places in my body I feel those things that are still there. I have associations still have associations towards people who have hurt me physically. And I forgive myself for getting myself in that situation. I forgive them for hurting me, but I think that's going to go on till the day I die. And it will just keep coming up. But, you know, it's something that I have to live with. And it's getting easier and better and better. And that's what I am. I can just take my kindness and turn it towards me. And from me, I can put it out into the world. And that's all I can do.
Well put. Thank you.
Yes, Brenda.
Umar, I just want to say it's been wonderful practicing with you all these years, and you know, you always make me smile, so thank you.
Yeah, it has been a very interesting piece of my life that I've spent with all of you. I would have never in my wildest dreams thought of meeting, you know, Les, or, you know, for that matter, my morning meditating partner, Travis, and, you know, my wife, Lee, all of you. I mean, just, it has, I mean, Giuseppe, you know, and so it's Nick, Marcus, Teresa, David. I can't even begin to, even David L. I can't begin to thank any of you and all of you how much, because of you, I'm here. And because of you, your support, I feel that, you know, you guys make up the Sangha, and just it's more of a family than anything else. And yeah, all I can say is thank you. Yes, Giuseppe.
I have a question, Umar. So it's a question about clothing. Like, you like black robes? And what do you think? Black robes, or they're too kind of like heavy? It's in the summer, it's heavy when you sit, and it takes a long time to put them on and off. And also, they look different from those of other people. And I don't remember seeing you a lot with black robes. So what do you think of clothing? You know, fashion is very important in Italy.
Yeah, I like fashion too. See this color, this cup that I have here? It's very fashionable, you know. you haven't seen me with black robes because I haven't put on black robes as yet. That's in January. So it'll be in January. So how do people say that? We'll get to that. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. So I haven't quite tried them on. I think the closest thing that I've ever come to wearing robes would be, I think it was on a film set that somebody gave me some black robes to wear. So I had to wear them on a film set and pretend that I was a priest. And that was about it. So it was interesting, you know, just managing yourself in those is really interesting, you know, finding your balance that you don't fall down, getting up, sitting down, and especially on the floor. But except for that, I found them to be very comfortable. I think they're pretty airy, you know, just keeps you cool in the summer and warm in the winter, isn't it? You worn them longer than most people have, so that's why I was asking you.
I can tell you, just don't sweat into them as much as I've done. All my advice that I can give you, and I mean it sincerely, it's no use to sweat in them.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, Teresa, you have a question?
Hi, Umar. No, I also want to express appreciation for your presence at Canondong and for especially organizing the sessions. I was thinking about it yesterday, I think, about how wonderful was the end of the sessions at Canondong. So thank you.
Yeah. You know, it's like Yoda on Star Wars used to say, you know, do not do, there is no try, you know. And I say, you know, well, we'll keep on trying till we die. You know, that's what we're doing. So that's what we do, is we keep trying and trying and trying to get things together. But yeah, I mean, it is a lot of work, but thank you. I mean, again, without having a Sangha, we can't have sashins. And without the Sangha, nothing happens. Thank you.
I just had a quick question. Could you just repeat the three questions that you ask yourself in those situations? I just wanted to get them down in my head one more time.
Sure. So I ask myself, is this a reaction? What was the result of the way, what was the result last time around when I reacted this in this manner? And where is this reaction coming from? So just to get some space between me and the person who gets in my face. So, you know.
Thank you.
No problem. Yes, Dan.
I was going to ask if anyone else has any questions or comments.
gone.
It looks like Lee is in a different room. You're usually side by side.
No. Lee is right there.
Oh, you are there. You look like you were in a different house or a different room.
No. Yeah. She can hear you. So she's sitting right here. We just turned the microphone.
Right by your side.
Yeah, she's here.
I remember when you first brought Lee, you said, I'm going to bring my girlfriend. And you came with your camera, Lee, and you took some beautiful pictures in the garden. And now you're taking care of the garden. So thank you for sharing Lee with the Sangha.
No. He is a special person. She makes my life better too. Yeah. Keeps me straight. Yeah. Otherwise, I'd be going around Trader Joe's putting, groceries in other people's shopping carts unnecessarily. I have this mischievous side that comes out like. Just have them take home extra groceries.
The bad Umar side.
Yeah, it comes up sometimes.
Yeah. Huh. If you decide to do that, let me know if you need a sidekick, Umar.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Umar.
This talk was brought to you by the Canando Zen Meditation Center in Mountain View, California. For more information or to support this podcast, go to canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.